Matthew chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Go down to verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Now go to verse 11. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I hope you noticed a common theme in the verses that I read to you. It talked about worship. Christmas worship. Now, our pastor refers to it often. And this year of all years, this month of all months, and this season of all seasons should be the most wonderful time of the year to worship. And it seems like, and I'm not saying this bad of any church or this church, but it seems like we get to this month and all of a sudden we just cramp up, we just become silent, we become reverent because we literally take silent night for literally and just stay in our seats and don't say a word. And when we understand that Christmas was not silent at all. No, there was angels proclaiming, praising, worshiping God. We know that a few years later we have here the in our text verse how they went and worshiped him. The Magi went and worshiped him. We know Joseph and Mary worshiped him. And Christmas really is about worship. And it should be the most wonderful time of the year for Christian, for a child of God, is specifically to worship. But it seems like it doesn't work out that way. And here's why. Here's why. Because we know commercialism has taken over. But thank God they're talking about Christmas. I don't care if they start talking about it in July. I'm not going to complain because at least it gets people's minds on Christ and upon Christmas. And so I know we get aggravated because we celebrate. People have got the trees out in July at Big Lots, you know. But listen, people's minds and hearts get bent toward Christmas. We know commercially it's one of the biggest times of year for secular stores and things like that. But most of all, it is the greatest time of year. But here's what happens, and here's why I think we don't worship effectively, is because we get out of focus what Christmas really is and what Christmas really means. And I know down deep inside, we all know what Christmas is and what Christmas really means. It's all about Jesus. But we hear the songs and it's the most wonderful time of the year. And, you know, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. We ain't got time to build a fire, let alone roast chestnuts over an open fire. I mean, really. We talk, you know, walking in a winter wonderland, you know, all we have around here is winter. We don't have wonderland, we have winter. And of course, they're doing their best downtown to make it a wonderful place where we can go and celebrate Christmas. And it's all wonderful, but so many times we get so caught up and to get everything so right and so perfect that we become disappointed with Christmas. So I'm trying here at the beginning of the month to really to get us to focus that this month of all months should be a month of worship. And every time we come into this house, we should be ready to worship and ready to worship not only the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but worship the fact that he came as a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes to die for us on the cross of Calvary. That's what Christmas is all about. So let's get our Christmas in the right place. Let's improve Christmas. Let's get the most out of Christmas. And here's how we get the most out of Christmas is we worship Christ the Lord. So how do we worship? Well, it's found here in our text, what I read to you. First of all, if you're going to have correct Christmas worship, you got to be looking for the right thing. What are you looking for at Christmas? Are you looking for snow? Are you looking for the perfect gift? Are you looking for all your family to get together? Are you looking for just everything to be so and perfect? Well, if you rely on it, if that's your focus, my friend, you're going to be disappointed. Because we don't know around here if we're going to have snow or sunshine. in March, April, May, or June. It really don't matter what time of year it is. We don't know. Those things will disappoint. Searching for that perfect gift, you probably have already been disappointed. And I've been disappointed over the years because, you know, my focus was on the wrong thing. And what we do is at the end of Christmas and after it's all over, we say to our heart, and we're disappointed because Christmas didn't really deliver. It's not the fact that Christmas didn't deliver. It's the fact that we got out of focus what we really are supposed to be looking for. We're not looking for those temporary things. No, when we start looking at who Christ is, see, it's not what are we looking for. It's who are you looking for? Christmas didn't do nothing wrong. Our expectations were wrong. And so listen, if you understand that true worship is not what we worship, it's who we worship. Worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this time of year, this month specifically, we need a fresh look at Calvary. We need a fresh look at Jesus. We need a fresh look at the manger. And we need a refreshing in our worship. And we will have that if we get our focus on Jesus. It's not about what, it's about who. And if you look to worship, if you come in preparing and you plan to worship, not just when you get here and you say, well, I'm here, let's have church. No, before you get here, in your heart, in your mind, through the week, prepare your heart, prepare your mind that when you come in here, you don't have to have a song, you don't have to have a testimony, you don't have to have a sermon. No, you walk into this place understanding that Jesus is the King of Kings and he is to be worshiped. And, you know, Greg, he's doing a great job in our Christmas choir program. And he said something at the end of our practice tonight that just rang true in my heart. And he had no idea what I was preaching on, but it fit perfectly. He said, he was thinking about Bethlehem. And he said, you know, and he made the statement as well, Christmas, when Jesus was born, it wasn't silent. There was a lot of things going on. And that you know, the hotel was full of people. Bethlehem was full of people, and they weren't too far from the cave. And he said, I wonder how many people missed the fact that the Messiah, the King of Kings, was born right next door. And my mind quickly began to think, the reason why they missed it is because they weren't looking for him. And you're going to miss Christmas. You're going to miss true worship. You're going to miss the ultimate worship experience this month if you don't look for Jesus in the middle of Christmas. Amen. Somebody say amen. 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 And if you truly look to worship and you look to Jesus, I guarantee at the end of it all, you won't be disappointed in Christmas this year because your focus was on Jesus. So, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Who are you looking for? So, secondly, if we're going to improve our Christmas worship, not only do we have to understand who we're looking for, but we got to understand where are we looking? Where you look directly affects how you worship. Let's look at these magi for a second. Their reasoning and their mind, scientifically and human reasoning, took them to the wrong place. They were looking for the right person, but they were looking in the wrong place. And so they thought, that's where they went wrong. They thought that the king should be in a palace. So they went to Herod, looking for the King of Kings. And when they got there, they realized that was a very bad mistake because human reasoning and science pointed them to the king and to the palace. So they went there thinking that's where the king should be. And see, that was the whole world at that time. They were looking for a Messiah to come on horseback and come and overthrow the Roman government. That's what they wanted. That's what they desired. They weren't looking in the right place. They may have been looking for a king, but they weren't looking in the right place. And so finally, they got some scribes together. Finally, they got some people that knew about ancient prophecy. And say, hey, wait a minute. And you'll find it here in between the verses that I read to you. They said, now wait a minute. It's written. It's written that in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And so they finally looked in the right place to find where Jesus was at, to find where the king was at. And so the Magi went from that point and said, okay, if that's where he's at, then we're in the wrong place. We got to get to Bethlehem. So Herod sent them to Bethlehem to find the king. You say, Brian, what does this all mean? I'm telling you, they finally looked for the king in the right place. They looked at the scriptures, they looked at prophecy, and found where the king was living. Hey, what I'm trying to tell you is, you may be looking for the king, but are you looking in the right place? I know where you'll find him. It's right here in the Holy Scripture. Hallelujah. And he proclaimed when he was coming. The prophets proclaimed. They looked forward to him. The angels proclaimed. The world proclaimed. Nature proclaimed. And thank God, he was born. He lived. He died. He is the King of Kings, and you'll find him in the book. Hallelujah. So who are you looking for and where are you looking? If you look in the right place, you're going to find him. And watch out. Where you think you'll find him may not be where he's at. So don't use your own human reasoning and your own traditions to think that's where you'll find the king. The king's going to be in a lot of places this month that you'll never see him before. You just got to look for him in the right place. And if you're not in the right place, you won't find him. What I'm trying to tell you is get to church. Because you're going to find him here. Don't miss a service this month. Every service we have, the kids service on the 15th, the choir program on the 22nd. And please come to Christmas, to the church, the house of God on Christmas Day. That's why we're having it. That's why we're celebrating it. And Cal Ray already mentioned this morning, we don't know if Jesus was born on December 25th. That's not the matter. The matter is we're setting aside a day to proclaim the King of Kings and the Lord of Lord. We should do it every day, but this is our time. This is our reason to come. So listen, come to church. I guarantee you'll find him. But if you're in the wrong place, you won't find him. Recently, I had to go to Walmart. I'm sorry if we have any Walmart employees here. I don't mean nothing bad. I'm just saying, usually when I have to go there, it's for medicine. And usually Heather wants me to get some milk and maybe some cat food. And you're laughing because if you ever had to look for milk and cat food, they're not in the same aisle. They're not even in the same zip code at Walmart. And so I had to get some medicine. And I got there and they happened to be closed for lunch. And so that aggravated me, number one. Busiest time of the day when people can come and you're closed. I understand everybody's got to eat, but I need my medicine. So, and I want to get home. I had stuff to do. So the lady said, and it was close to when they was going to open back up. So I said, well, I'll just wait. I'll wait right here. Now, I will preface this and say that there was no one around. I was the only one waiting at that time. So they had that little bench there, that little metal bench. So I sat down. You're checking some emails and stuff like that, just wasting some time and waiting for that 10 minutes. So there's other people that came up and said, is pharmacy open? And they know it'll be open in just a few minutes. Okay, I'll come back. So two or three people did that, and here I am. Now remember, I was the first one to ask. I was waiting. And so pharmacist Jared came. I know Jared real well, good friend of mine. So they rolled it up. Of course, Jared didn't know I'd been waiting there for 15 minutes. But the lady at the front, at the counter did. Now remember, I'm the only one that asked first. I asked first. Did you understand? I was first. I was waiting. So they rolled the cage open. Got their, scanned their badges. Getting ready to go. Now they're ready to go. She said, I'll help who's next. I'm like, wait a minute. Next? I'm first, lady. I didn't say that out loud. I just said it in my mind. Because it's Christmas, you don't want it. And I realized that there was everybody that already asked, they got in that imaginary line that Walmart makes. There's a line that everybody makes that there's nothing to say start here, they just make an imaginary line. I was over here, remember, I'd been waiting longer than everybody over there. And so I'm like, are you kidding me? I've been waiting. You're supposed to say, hey, Brian, come on up. because you've been waiting the longest. But no, there was a, so now I'm more frustrated. So I said, well, I got to go to the back of the line. So I go to the back of the line, and wouldn't you know, there's like 7-8 people. So I'm just sitting there, I'm thinking, my land, I was first. I should have got, I need to get home. And then, I don't know if it was God or it was just my guilty conscience. Just spoke to my heart and said, it's not her fault. You're in the wrong place. Because even though there isn't, you know, they have little barricades there. Where I was sitting was not where the line started. So I could have refused and said, no, what? I ain't moving. I ain't moving. I'm going to stay right here. And they're just going to have to come wait on me. I could have done that. And guess what? I'd still be sitting there. I didn't get what I wanted because I wasn't in the right place. You know what I'm trying to say? And you'll never get the most out of Christmas unless you're in the right place. God's not going to force it. God, I don't care your lineage, heritage, it doesn't matter. God's not going to force it on you. If you want it, you got to be in the right place. Or you'll still be sitting here. You'll still be sitting in your doldrum and not getting anything out of Christmas because you're refusing to worship and getting in the right place. Well, let's move on. So what are you looking for? Who are you looking for? Where are you looking at? And then let me ask you this. What are you giving? Your worship is directly affected by what you are giving. Didn't talk to Pastor. I just asked him a little bit today about if I was going to be interfering with anything he was working on for the Christmas season. I didn't want to overstep. But he talked about an offering today. And that's how I was ending today. Because your Christmas worship will directly be affected by what you give. And let's reiterate what our pastor said today. It's not about money. Because God doesn't need your money. He needs you. So if you truly want a worship experience at Christmas unlike any other, who are you looking for? Where are you looking at? And what are you giving?